Welcome back to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm Randall White in today for Vicky Gonzalez. Nearly a decade ago, a lone wolf left his pack in Oregon and journeyed across the California border into Siskiyou County, becoming the first wolf to return to the Golden State that we know of since they were eradicated nearly a century ago. In the years since, the wolf packs have slowly reestablished themselves in the northeastern corner of the state, the overall population growing to about 20 wolves between the three packs by the end of last year. But wolf advocates say they are overjoyed to learn that just last week, two of those packs got notably bigger. The Center for Biological Diversity announced 11 new wolf pups were born in two packs who roam the Siskiyou, Plumas, and Lassen County regions. This brings the population to approximately 28 known wolves in California. For conservationists, the births marked a milestone in their efforts to reestablish California as wolf country. But not everyone is enthused with their return, and the wolves remain increasingly threatened by human activity and climate change. Joining us now to talk about the latest additions to California's wolf family and what steps are being taken to protect the endangered animals is Amaruk Weiss, Senior Wolf Advocate for the Center for Biological Diversity. Amaruk, welcome to Insight.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
So you've dedicated 25 years to wolf recovery and conservation policy. What was your reaction when you learned of these 11 new pups in Northern California?
Well, everybody loves wildlife babies, right? And these babies are particularly special. And that's because this is the second year in a row now that we've had two packs produce pups. California only has three packs, as you said, and what are packs? They're families. It's a mother and a father wolf. They're new puppies from this year, and their offspring maybe from the year before, the year before that. So California's wolf families are doing well so far, and that's reason to celebrate.
And how do you know about these births? Are they on, are there like live cameras or something that you can watch to track?
Not me and not you and not the general public, but the wildlife biologists that work for the California Department of Fish and Wildlife. They have wolf specialists, and it's their job to monitor what's going on with these wolf families. So yes, they do know where their territories are. They're pretty big. They're about 500 square miles territory for each of these packs. But they do know from year after year approximately where the packs are going to den, that is where they give birth. And then later on, where they move their pups to what are called rendezvous sites. That's where the adults park their pups with a babysitter wolf while the adults go out hunting. So they know where the wolves are hanging out, and they do keep trail cameras there.
Amaruk, is there any, are there any efforts to sample DNA from the existing pack to find out how closely they might be related to that original wolf that wandered over the border?
Yeah, very definitely. And that's been going on ever since that first wolf came in 2011. You know, he stayed here for about 15 months, went back to Oregon. But since then, other wolves have come into California, including some of his offspring. Mm. And in fact, one of his pups from his very first 2014 litter back in Oregon came into California and was one of the founding members of the Lassen pack. And the mate of that wolf, after they DNA tested her scat, and that's what they do, is they collect scat from wolves, species, and they can DNA test that. They determine that she came here all the way from the Northern Rockies. So we do actually know, I mean, we've known all along how far wolves can travel, but we know from the DNA testing in terms of what wolves are related to whom. We also know that one of California's other wolf packs, the whaleback pack, the female of that pack, is also related to that original wolf that first came in 2011.
So since this is a relatively small population of animals that lives in the state, I know down in Southern California, they've had some trouble with the, I believe it's mountain lions down there, with the large freeways separating packs. And so you start to get this concentration of DNA, which doesn't always play out so well. Are you concerned about that, about there not being, not that there's not enough variety being mixed into the litters?
You know, originally I was, because a number of the wolves that were coming to California were all descendants of the Imnaha pack in northeastern Oregon. But since then, we've seen more variety. We've had wolves come in from multiple other packs in Oregon. And so the genetic diversity doesn't seem constrained at this point. And that's a good thing, just as you point out.
Mm-hmm. So California only has these three known wolf packs. Why is it news of two of California's three wolf packs having pups makes it so exciting? Like, what is the real significance here?
Yes. So when you think about an animal returning to a place where it was once eradicated from, like we wiped out wolves here, as they start to come back, you need to look at what is the trajectory of how many wolves are coming back, how many wolves are not returning back to the state they came from, how many of them can find a mate and then successfully reproduce. So now having two of our three wolf packs successfully reproduce, both of them, 2 years in a row, that's a step up the ladder from even last year, where it was exciting when two of them had reproduced at the same time for the first year, right? So each incremental year of pups being added to the family begins to tell you that the wolves are making their way here. They're establishing a toehold, and that what scientists predicted was right, that California has good wolf habitat. They just need to be given the chance to survive here, and they need the legal protections that allow for that.
We talk about this eradication that happened in the 20th century. Do we know how many wolves, or do we have a good way of estimating how many wolves lived in California before the gold rush?
So in California, the interesting thing is we do know that wolves were widely distributed across the state, but we don't have a handle on how many wolves were once here. The reason we know they were widely distributed across the state is in part from journal entries by early explorers and settlers, but also from stories and cultural practices of Native Americans and the languages of Native Americans across the state, most of whom had a distinct word for wolf, fox, dog, and coyote. Mm. So that tells you something about the range of wolves in California for sure.
Right. And we are speaking with Amaruk Weiss, a senior wolf advocate with the Center for Biological Diversity, talking about the 11 new wolf pups born in the wild in Northern California here on Insight, Cap Radio Sacramento. So, Amaruk, not everyone is necessarily thrilled with the wolf's return to California. Number of cattle and sheep ranchers in this rural area of the state view wolves as a menace and can impact their livelihood. Can you understand their concerns with the growing wolf population?
Yeah, you know, I think that there's historical context that's really helpful for people to understand these different perspectives. When Europeans came to North America, there were an estimated 2 million wolves across all of North America. 380,000 wolves are thought to have lived in the Western U.S. and Mexico alone, and we wiped them out. But we also, before we wiped them out, we wiped out all their prey. We wiped out the bison and the elk and the deer and replaced those with livestock. And so the remaining predators, wolves, grizzly bears, mountain lions, really only had anything to turn to was livestock. So if a rancher tells me, my great-great-grandfather says the wolves killed a lot of my livestock, I'm not going to disbelieve him. You know, the wolves didn't have much wild prey then. But the good news is, besides restoring wolves in some parts of the country, we've also restored wild prey. California's elk are here because we reintroduced elk from the Northern Rockies into Northern California, and then we recovered the small population of tule elk, and we have massive amounts of deer throughout the state. So there's lots of wild prey. And then the other thing to consider is, you know, everything in life is change, right? And if you have a livestock operation, that's a business, and business owners change with the times. And so the great thing to that too is there's so much that's been done to discover what non-lethal conflict prevention measures can be put in place to protect livestock from wolves. And on top of that, livestock attacks by wolves are so rare. You wouldn't know that from the headlines in wolf country, but they're so rare.
Amaruk, that might be the answer, but in about 30 seconds, can you tell me what do you believe is most misunderstood about wolves?
I think the very thing is that wolves are viewed as a competitor with us for our livestock. They're viewed as a competitor with us for elk and deer. Nothing could be further from the truth. The reason we have healthy elk and deer is because they evolved with predators like wolves. That's what makes those elk and deer robust and agile and fleet and beautiful and worthy of admiration, just like wolves are. Wolves have families, just like we have. Wolves don't want to have anything to do with people. If you see a wolf in the wild, pick up your camera. That is a moment. That is a moment to appreciate.
It'll likely go the other way.
That's right.
Yeah. Amaruk Weiss, Senior Wolf Advocate with the Center for Biological Diversity, telling us more about the 11 new wolf pups born in the wild in Northern California. Thank you for your time today. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Happy Puppy Day.
All right. And that is Insight for today. Learn more about all of our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen. If you want to join the conversation, we love this. Email us at insight@capradio.org. And a big thank you to producers Nick Dobas and Victor Corral Martinez, along with managing editor R.M. Sarkissian. Our digital producer is Megan Minata. Insight's technical director, Mark Jones. Engineer is Antonio Munez. Joe Barr is Cap Radio's chief content officer. I am Randall White in today for Vicky Gonzalez. Thank you so much for joining us. Vicky is back here tomorrow. We'll see you then.